Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This session is devoted to mechanisms for reducing risks from trusting through impersonal means. We've talked about personal attempts to reduce the risks. So now let's look first at the type of risks that can and the mechanisms that can be reduced through markets. Markets provide information regarding trustworthiness of people and institutions, for example, through reputation. This information serves as enforcement mechanism. It warns people about other people. To be sure, reputation represents the judgment of others, whom we don't know. Besides, it can be manipulated. It can be created by advertising, other media means. But reputation also represents the judgment of many others, and therefore reduces some of the information costs of establishing trust. A recent system created by eBay on the internet is worth noting. eBay offers a site for which people can trade by auction. They can trade anything, from baseball cards to Persian carpets. The site sometimes shows offers of items that cost over $500,000. eBay does not offer a brokerage service. It does not get involved in the transaction itself. But it does offer a mechanism by which trading partners can complain about or approve of each other. Therefore, if a trader does not deliver his promised item, the trader will lose points. If a trader gives especially good service, he will gain points. Each trader accumulates plus or minus points of reputation. What is interesting is that the result of this information. In the auction market, the price of the reputable sellers, what they can get from an item, is higher than the price that disreputable sellers will get for the same item. Not for another one, for the same item. That is because people with higher reputation will have more bidders on the items that they offer than the people who do not have a good reputation. So in an auction market, the more bidders there are, the higher the chance of getting a better price. Sellers with low reputation will have fewer bidders, and the price that they will get will not rise as much. In this case, the rewards from trustworthiness and the punishment for lack of trustworthiness are directly connected to the price. And that's an interesting result. Other ways to signal trustworthiness are membership in professional and other organizations. These organizations provide a checking and sifting mechanism for the members. Membership signals that the members have passed certain tests. To that membership is attached a reputation with respect to competence, trustworthiness, and honesty. Other market verifiers include rating agencies that provide a rating with respect to particular facts, such as a promise to repay a loan or a bond. But credit agencies serve also to provide individuals with a proof of creditworthiness. If a person comes from California to New York, nobody knows him in New York, and he needs an apartment, he goes to the landlord. The landlord can, for $10 to $15, obtain the applicant's credit rating, and that reduces the cost for the applicant to establish such a credit. It makes for impersonal trusting relationships. There are countries in which credit information is a well-guarded secret. It is considered entirely private, and to be sure, the information does present an invasion of privacy. But people in the United States recognize that they benefit from giving the information. What is more dangerous is that mistakes are made. People can be hurt. And that is when the government will interfere and will prevent or at least reduce the number of such mistakes. But in any event, there is a choice here of creating financial trusting through rating. There's a rating agency that has been offering a trust package for foreign businesses. A business in the United States that wishes to deal with unknown parties abroad can buy such a package. The package contains information about potential foreign trading partners with respect to their reliability, both as to the information they provide, the facts, and the promises. This package is based on historical data, on opinions of those who have dealt with a foreign firm, and of others. On the internet, there is a firm that is now offering a sign called Trustee. And the sign is supposed to be a signal of trustworthiness, similar to, for example, restaurant rating by famous chefs. This sign is paid not by the consumers, it's paid by the businesses who desire the signs, but they can, if they are reliable, can create a reputation. Accountants, lawyers, personal credit agencies, investigators, all of them provide information on trustworthiness of people and businesses for a price. Thus, the market reduces the risk of trusting. There are other forms of impersonal trusting. There are cultures, including Americans, who present a puzzle. Americans believe in self-interest, or at least have strong doubts about personal trusting. They cherish individualism. They preach self-sufficiency, independence, not dependence, independence. But their economy and prosperity are based on dependence on others and on trusting relationship. How do they achieve that? Well, one explanation relates to the benefits, costs, and risks of trusting. These cultures have created systems which reduce the cost of trusting and maximize its benefits. How do they do that? They have developed an extraordinary degree of trusting in their business institutions. Cynical and personal level, on the personal level, they are true believers in their corporations, their banks, their mutual funds, their insurance companies. There are a number of benefits from trusting institutions. First, it enables people to trade with strangers. I can order an item from a catalog, from a person I do not know in a place I never heard of. And that person sends me the item, even though he knows nothing about me. We do not trust each other. There's none of the personal relationship. And if we did, it would not be trust, it would be naivete, it would be gullibility. We do trust the bank. I trust the bank that it will not pay through my credit card, even if I did not receive the item. The seller trusts the bank to pay if I did receive the item. So the bank opens the door for a tremendous amount of trading among total strangers. Second, as compared to personal trusting relations with an institutional institutions and intermediaries is cheaper. The number of institutions are smaller. After all, how many banks there are as compared to individuals. I also do not have to remember or to meet so many people. The banks or the broker-dealers or other institutions advertise their names. They are well known. I know much more about them. Many institutions also live relatively long. I do not have to remember new ones too often. The institutions work to build the reputation, and trust is their business. Most importantly, the reputation is supported by law, based on concepts of fiduciary law, as we shall see later. And finally, at least recently, institutions are subject to competition, so they also serve better than in the past. But there is more. Institutions expose people to lower costs of lost opportunities. The institution enables customers to use the services of talented strangers. These are their employees. Customers can trust the employees without checking their competence, without checking their honesty. The institutions do that for the customers. So in most cases, the institutions are also regulated. The laws, the regulators require, for example, that the employees be covered by insurance. The institutions must create internal controls to avoid mismanagement. The markets see to it that the institutions are profitable. The customers push the institutions to offer better services, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. Finally, this system fits the American culture. It allows people to establish trusting and dependent relationships, largely with institutions, but less with particular individuals. Intermediaries have served to reduce the cost of trusting relationship and encourage trade among strangers. We already discussed the function of credit cards as establishing trust among strangers. But similarly, for centuries, banks have offered letters of credit to parties in different countries. If the seller and buyers do not know each other, the bank offers the seller an obligation to pay for the goods when documents of their arrival have been presented to the bank. Another striking example is the function of brokers in the stock market. Here is a puzzle. Millions of shares are sold and bought every day on the large exchanges of the world. The markets are volatile. The prices go up and down. What that means is that at any time, either the buyers or the sellers have an incentive, sometimes strong incentive, to breach their contract. Yet they don't. They don't. The reason is that they can't. The securities of the seller and the money of the buyer are in the hands of the broker. And the broker serves as an escrow agent again, like in the real estate deal. The broker has the incentive to be the escrow agent, even if it costs him to manage the transaction, because the broker gets the commission and earns the commission only upon execution of the trade. So here you have a self-executing system that creates impersonal trust, also in the enforcement of promises. The parties do not even know who their counterparties are. They do not care either. They know the broker. I wonder about trading sites on the internet that have no intermediaries. and I hope that some automatic or other control mechanisms, like the one established by eBay or others, would serve the same purpose at lower cost. But that is something we should think about, because intermediaries do serve that purpose now. And we will see what happens in the future. So here is our weekly food for thought. Do you recognize your bank teller? Do you know the teller's last name? Do you count the money after the teller hands you the money? Do you know the teller's bank balance? How well do you know your teller? How much do you trust him or her with your money? How much money are you willing to hand to the teller? How much money are you willing to deposit in the ATM machine? I'm looking forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.